Window World is proud to present Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, simply the best for less at windowskansascity.com.
I've heard people on the left say about a million times that Donald Trump is an overrated negotiator, that he's not the art of the deal, that he doesn't really know what he's doing, but we watched him as president really complete one good deal after another for America, not for himself, certainly, because he really hasn't enriched himself by being president, and it's been more of a pain in the rear for him than anything else. But he has done great things for America, and we saw that. You could see it. You can't really argue it. But they perpetuate this on the left nonstop, really, and talk about what an overrated person Donald Trump is, that he's not serious, that he's a clown, that he's a liar, he's a crook, he's a fraud, he's a cheat, he's all these things. Clearly, that's going to happen in perpetuity, no matter who the Republican presidential candidates are or Republican presidents. That's going to happen from the hard left. That's the only thing they have in their playbook, because the issues continue to reside on the side of the right. But if you ever really question, is Donald Trump overrated as a negotiator, you only have to look at how unhinged they are after Donald Trump's greatest hits played out live to the horror of everyone on the left on CNN on Wednesday night. This was maybe the most masterful negotiation Donald Trump ever completed. He agreed to do something for CNN, which has struggling ratings. He has done nothing but make fun of them for years and years and years and called them fake news and sucky ratings and you're awful and you're a bunch of liars and frauds. The new CEO said we need to move CNN to the middle a little bit. Their idea of moving to the middle at this point is not to curtail in any way the wackos out there like Jake Tapper, who immediately came on after this town hall and called Trump a liar and started reading out all these things that were lies that aren't really lies. They're only lies if you believe something different. You can have an opinion on the left and an opinion on the right, but because you're on the left and someone's opinion on the right is different than yours, that doesn't make them a liar. That's what I love about when the left fact checks. And I'm sorry, I'm going to have fun with this podcast because this was hysterical. I mean, this town hall was just fantastic. Trump and his people were brilliant enough to say, look, CNN wants to do this. They're dying for ratings. Trump wants to take a gut punch at Fox News. Fox News doesn't like Trump. He knows this. So he wants to take a shot at him. He wanted the thing to start exactly when Tucker Carlson's show started. He wanted CNN to win that hour for the first time in ever. So that's going to come out. I don't have the ratings for you yet. They haven't come out. They'll come out at some point on Thursday. We'll see the ratings from Thursday night. And we're guessing CNN had a much bigger audience than normal. And I'm going to guess it was a growing audience because the social media started going. A lot of people forgot it was on there. A lot of conservatives that never watched CNN would never tune that on. They forgot it wasn't promoted as well as it should be. Certainly Fox News, Newsmax, places like that weren't going to promote that Trump was going to be on CNN. So it was a little bit of a tough call in the beginning, but I'm going to guess that the viewership got bigger and bigger and bigger. So first thing he does, he negotiates, I want this thing on up against what Tucker Carlson's time slot was. Okay? Somehow he got negotiated, it's going to run twice. We're going to do this as basically a three-hour chunk, a 90-minute setting with the town hall, and then they were going to, you know, have a few minutes at the end where they discuss it and then rerun it again. And this is what they did. It was Trump TV all night long. He gets the entire audience in New Hampshire, where the first primary is. He gets the entire audience filled with Republicans and softball questions, to be perfectly honest. These people love him. It was a smaller group, which to me is a better forum than Trump, than even his airport venues where thousands and thousands of people show up. Those aren't as personal. They're great. They're fabulous. And nobody packs hangars like he does with thousands of people. No question. I'm not saying that those are wrong. I'm just saying this is where the man thrives. Then they were smart to play up Caitlin Collins of CNN. And all the Trump people said was, we're agreeing to do this with Caitlin Collins because she's a rising star. She's young. She's smart. We'll do it with Caitlin Collins. We've agreed to do it with Caitlin Collins. She's a rising star at CNN. And all the bar was just raised about how great she is and why they were allowing this town hall to go with her. Well, we figured it out very quickly watching Trump's greatest hits on Wednesday night. It didn't take long to figure out that what the Trump people negotiated was a megastar, an icon, perhaps the most famous person in the world on stage, with an audience of people that were just loving the man, clapping for him, laughing at his jokes, feeding off of everything, and one person in the room wasn't in on it. For every great joke, for every great comeback, for every great point being made, there must be a foil. And on this night, the foil was not Joe Biden. Unbeknownst to the people at CNN when they negotiated this, and unbeknownst to Caitlin Collins, she's the foil. And there she was on stage with nowhere to hide, and the entire room was against her. Now, I'm not going to blast her. She did her job. Her job was to ask questions that weren't going to be softball questions from the audience. She did that. She was rude. She interrupted too much. She didn't handle the moderation part very well, but she knew her stuff. She was asking questions. You should never, as a question asker, sit there and say, you're lying, you're not telling the truth, fact check, that's wrong. You just should never do that. This was Trump's night. They want to fact check when it's over. You let them. Have you ever seen a debate between two presidential candidates where the moderator says, fact checking, you're lying, that's wrong? This is actually what happened. I've never seen that. So this was a first. And Caitlin Collins went out there and did that, and she should not have done that. It made her look terrible. It made the audience dislike her more. It made them laugh harder at his jokes. And eventually Donald Trump says to Caitlin Collins, quote, you're a nasty person. And the crowd just roared. They're laughing at CNN. CNN has a broadcast on where everybody's in on the joke except freaking CNN. They're losing control of the thing. I know a thing or two about broadcasting and what this was supposed to be versus what it became. Caitlin Collins is responsible for that. Now, a lot of people on the left are going to love her because she got in there and she was not afraid of the president and she fought. There'll be people that are on her side. But most people on the left are mortified at the way she handled this thing and what this broadcast became. Donald Trump used humor. He demonstrated competence, which, number one, anybody that watched, even if you're a Biden voter, was like, oh my God, that's right. He is competent. He does know the issues and he has control of his life. Unlike Biden, he knows what's going on. He used facts and he used what something that I call American normalcy. There's an American way of life. There's a sensibility about us that most people that have lived long enough to vote understand kind of what the American way is. And he has that. It's not really Americana. It's an American normalcy. There's something different about us, inherently different about us compared to other countries, and he gets it. This was unbelievable. And it was the best place for Trump to go. Just go on to CNN. Some people still remember the place as Straight News. Go in there and light it up. Give them an hour and a half of information and facts that they don't get by regularly watching CNN. As soon as it was over, I mentioned Jake Tapper just immediately, his head exploded, talking about all the lies. The fact checks are hysterical because they're not fact checks. They were all watching in horror as he absolutely obliterated their fake news. He did all this. How bad was it? This is not being widely reported. This was a 90-minute town hall that was cut short at 69 minutes. They had guaranteed Trump at least 75 minutes. That's an hour and 15 minutes, and leave 15 minutes for Jake Tapper to come on at the end and just blow it away and say that sucked, and he's a liar, and he's a crook, and he's a rapist, and all these other things that they say. That's what the plan was. They cut it short. Ask yourself this. Has Donald Trump ever gone short? No, he never would go short. They cut it short. It was a terrible decision on their part to cut it short because they were getting good ratings finally. I'm promising you they were getting good ratings. People were watching as they don't normally watch in the 7 o'clock hour, Kansas City time, on CNN. They were getting it, but it was unraveling. And at the very highest level, there are reports that Chris Licht, the new CEO of CNN, said, pull the plug. This is not what we thought it was going to be. We've been duped. Get out of this thing. This is a disaster for us. It's a disaster for CNN. For their core audience, as small as their core audience is, their core audience was absolutely incensed by what was going on. Imagine a candidate with this much personality, this much iconic stature, an audience full of liberals, and let's say Sean Hannity out there doing the interview, just getting steamrolled by an entire room live on Fox News. Can you even imagine that? I mean, this was bad on so many levels for CNN and the left. I'm glad they did it. I like the idea of CNN. I think I've said for years, there is a middle ground here. There's a middle ground for CNN. Their middle ground is don't take sides. Their middle ground is when this debate was over or this town hall was over, come out and have an anchor of a show that plays it straight and have one guest or two guests on the left and the right. Not five on the left, flamethrowers, and one person on the right. Don't stack it that way. If they're really going to do it, really do it. The way to do it isn't load up programming that's going to offend your regular base. If we want to have honest debate, CNN could certainly be the place for that. I think there's a market for it. I think you see these other things out there, News Nation and whatnot, mostly just trying to do news. And I know they put Cuomo on and he tries to get one person on the right and one person on the left. They're trying that at News Nation, but Cuomo's already shot as a host. You can't do that. Does CNN have something that is worth saving? Can they save it? Not if they negotiate like this. Trump absolutely steamrolled him. If you didn't see it, if you didn't hear it, I've got two clips today. We'll start with the serious. And this is when Caitlin Collins is interrupting him nonstop. I'll leave a little bit of that in there. They're talking about the war in Ukraine. Trump has just stated before this clip plays that the war would never have started if I were president. And if you elect me again, it will be over in 24 hours. We will negotiate an end to this thing. And here's how that went, as Trump was very serious about stopping the killing in Ukraine.
You but said you don't think in you terms have to of do winning is you and have losing. To get the, you have Mr.
President,
to get
can
Europe.
I just follow up on that? Because that's a really important statement.
Excuse me, let me just follow
just
up.
There. Can you say if you want Ukraine or Russia to win this war?
I want everybody to stop dying. They're dying. Russians and Ukrainians. I want them to stop dying. And I'll have that done. I'll have that done in 24 hours. I'll have it done. You need the power of the presidency to do it.
But you won't say that you want Ukraine to win. You
know what I'll say? I'll say this. I want Europe to put up more money because they're in for $20 billion. We're in for $170
and
they should be.
And
they should equalize. They have plenty of money. They should equalize. I got with NATO.
But I'm
when I sat down, I got them to put up hundreds of billions of dollars that they weren't paying under Obama and Bush. And all of these other presidents, that's why they're able to help them fight the war, because of the money I got. But I
let's
want
talk
Europe
about what's
to,
happening in Ukraine,
excuse me,
Mr.
I
President.
Want Europe to put up more money because they're laughing at us. They think we're a bunch of jerks. We're spending $170 billion for faraway land, and they're right next door to that land, and they're in for 20. I don't think so.
As you can tell, he just commands the stage. He commanded the room, and he was in complete and utter control. And he's saying the same things that I've been saying on this podcast for a long time. Why aren't we discussing negotiating this war to an end? Why are we spending our money? Why are people dying? That's the two things. That's it. That's it. There's two things. And I don't separate the two. I don't know the people dying. I don't want them dying. I should be able to tell you in all honesty that I'm much more concerned about the death than I am the money. But for me, it's about equal. We just have no business spending close to $200 billion on a war in Ukraine. None. Zero. And Trump knows that. And he articulates that point that Europe's not in for enough. We're in for too much. And this thing needs to end. The entire thing is stupid. He points out the very simple to the American people. That's why voters love him. It's a simple solution. We're going to sit down at the table, the three of us, and we're going to end this thing. It can be done. He's not going to pick sides. And of course there would be concessions by Ukraine. Big deal. Ukraine ain't winning this war. Give some concessions. Let's end it. Let's get a 25-year treaty signed and be done with it and move it down the road. The other, and this was where he really won the night, and that's why I call it Trump's greatest hits, his humor is just exceptional. Again, he had the room like Dave Chappelle would have a room. Most comedians come out and they have an audience. They try to win the audience over, but they don't have a foil on stage with them. Trump had a foil in Caitlin Collins. And this is remarkable. This is about the woman that got the verdict this week against Trump, not for rape, but for what? Physical assault or sexual assault or something like that. This is the woman who had been on CNN last week with Anderson Cooper that said, rape is sexy. It's a sexual fantasy. He did it, but this was not sexual with Trump. She accused him of rape, but said it was not sexual. Yeah, just good luck figuring out liberals. They can't define what a woman is. They damn sure can't define what rape is or any, it's just insane. Okay. So she's pressing him about this woman and this verdict because it, you know, this verdict happened, it's an important verdict. And we learned two things that have not been reported around this case that were not allowed in the trial. And this is absolutely hysterical vintage Trump.
Speaking of New York, I want to ask you about a significant verdict that was reached yesterday. I know this is something you want to weigh in on as well. Manhattan jury found that you sexually abused the writer E. Jean Carroll and defamed her. You've denied this. But what do you say to voters who say it disqualifies you from being president?
Well, there aren't too many of them because my poll numbers just came out. They went up. Okay. I'm the only person in history who had a charge like that. And usually you leave office, you say, I'm sorry, but I'm going to back home. I'm back home to my family and everything. I'm going to be resigned. My poll numbers went up, and they went up with the other fake charge, too, because what's happening is they're doing this for election interference. This woman, I don't know her. I never met her. I have no idea who she is. I had a picture taken years ago with her and her husband, nice guy, John Johnson. He was a newscaster, a very nice man. She called him an ape. Happens to be African-American. Called him an ape. The judge wouldn't allow us to put that in. Her dog or her cat was named Vagina. The judge wouldn't allow to put that in. All of these things. But with her, they can put in anything.
So the woman that looked so bad on CNN with Anderson Cooper, with this frivolous suit that they won because the jury stacked, okay? This woman was married to a black man she referred to as an ape, and she named her pet, her cat, Vagina. Really? This is serious news on CNN. This is what they go with. This is why they say he's a convict. America sees through this stuff. This was frivolous. Everybody knows it. The more they do this to Trump, the stronger he gets. And he's right. His poll numbers went up. It's just incredible how this man handles the stage and the way he handles all this. This was every political science professor in America should take a look at this, even if they hate Trump, and say, folks, this is how you do it. You don't have to agree with him. We can hate the man. This is what you do. You negotiate yourself into this spot and you go do this and you blow it up. It was so good and so powerful. And so many people are so pissed off. AOC is mad. People on the left are calling this a disaster for CNN, ill-conceived. The CEO should be fired. Fox News ignored it. If you go to foxnews.com, you will not see or hear the two clips that I just played. You won't see copy there about this thing. They don't like Trump. Some of their individual shows are starting to show some clips of things that Trump said. This is a big deal because it has exploded on the internet and social media. It's all anybody's talking about. For Joe Biden, in a way, it's good. Title 42 is ending. The border's a train wreck. He's got the debt ceiling going on, and he's got $10 million from foreign business partners for what? 10 different, including a grandchild, by the way. One of Biden's grandchildren has now learned received payments from foreign entities while he was vice president. Explain that one to me, please, Mr. President. So he's got all these problems going on, and at least Trump being on CNN is stealing some of the look, the headlines that matter now are online. It doesn't matter. We can sit here and talk all we want about CNN and Fox, the New York Times, or any of these traditional outlets. That's not where this exists. This is all in a very, everything is in a very small 20-second clip world. And these spots on Twitter, these clips on Twitter are everywhere. And it's unbelievable how many downloads there are. This stuff has just gone completely and utterly viral on both sides. And you would think, theoretically, the people that live in this country in the middle somewhere and don't know who they're voting for are watching both sides on this thing. And it's, and one thing is very clear to them, even if they didn't watch it. One thing's very clear to everyone. Trump won. Trump won Wednesday night because the right is just championing, oh, the election's over. He's got this. He's great. And the left is like, CNN shouldn't have done this. What a disaster. They should. So it's really easy, no matter what you're looking at or where you're seeing it, whether it's Facebook, Twitter, Truth Social, it doesn't matter, whatever platform you're on, and there's a million of them now, TikTok, it is really obvious to everyone in America that Trump had a freaking fantastic Wednesday night, that it was a complete slam dunk, grand slam, 5-touchdown performance by Donald Trump, and he's on to something. If he can find liberal outlets to let him on and let him bring his own audience and make the moderator the foil, that is a winner. This man is a force of nature. He is an iconic personality. He is a more than confident, competent leader, which all he has to really show to America is I'm competent. I'm with it. I'm not some old man that doesn't know where he is. I'll do this and I'll do it for America. They have a strong message of remember the 4 years of peace and prosperity. We had peace and you were getting richer. Period. The country was safer. The border was more closed. We were not at war. We were not funding wars. And the economy was getting better. It's very simple. You can run on your record here. It's very easy to turn this over on the media and say, all the drama, all that distraction, that was them. Okay? They were jacking with us while we were doing the job. You want somebody to do the job or do you not want somebody to do the job? And that's where we are. It was just an incredible night. He had so much fun with the audience before and after. CNN didn't show it. When it ended and they came out, Anderson Cooper's on there, and he's got Jake Tapper just blasting the president. And I'm like, the president, Caitlin Collins is gone. And the president is standing on stage with his microphone on. He's still talking to the audience. Like, why did they pull out of this? This network pulled out of a Trump town hall early because it was going so freaking well for Donald Trump. This was an historic night. This was one of those moments you'll never forget. There's been a lot of moments in campaigns and things like that. This was unbelievable. This is like, they're now in their little Biden world where everything is safe and easy. And all of a sudden, they thought, well, we've got control. We're good. Trump's an idiot. He's got all these problems. We'll do this. And they're like, oh my God, he's kicking our ass. End this thing. End this thing. It's going so bad. I mean, that's just remarkable. It's unprecedented. It's never happened. I mean, most people talk about television and politics going back to the first televised debate between Kennedy and Nixon. They'll say that transformed politics forever. This was somehow in a moment of polarization where the media have such control over everything that you see and hear, they lost control for 69 minutes. Donald Trump had control. He commandeered CNN and they ended it early. They pulled the plug. They're like, we're not giving him any more time. That's enough. He's kicking our ass. We cannot handle this force of nature. Jake Tapper can't make up for this. There is nothing we can do. This man is too good. We quit. CNN cried, uncle, I want out. This thing was supposed to be 90 minutes. We'll stop it at 69. We're out. We can't do this anymore. He's just killing us. Ron DeSantis, somewhere watching, must be thinking, what the hell? Should I do this or should I not do this? I would strongly advise Ron DeSantis to not get in. It can damage your brand down the road. Trump's got this. He's cleared his path. Let him do it. He either wins or, listen, if Trump goes and does this for a year and a half and doesn't win the election, he's kind of going to be remembered as a loser. People might say, well, it was a fluke that he beat Clinton. He got in and then he lost twice. And that's Trump's reputation. He's cleared his path. He cleared the path Wednesday night. I'm confident in saying he cleared the path Wednesday night. His voter base is too vast. It's too big. He's going to win the primaries. DeSantis can't win the primaries. There's just, unless something really dramatic happens that DeSantis knows that nobody else does, DeSantis should not use the primary as a dress rehearsal for the next primary. Just keep running Florida. Stay out this time. Trump's cleared the field. He's going to go up in polling. He continues to go up in polling. It either works or it doesn't. And I can't tell you whether it will or not. And I've told you that I would like to have seen a real challenge. I think DeSantis still would have a better chance of winning the general election against Biden. I think youth matters. I think part of that is it. I think there are people that will stay home or, you know, do whatever, say they're burnt out on Trump and go vote against him. I don't think that would happen with DeSantis. I think a lot of people would just stay home and not vote, which would be good. A fewer votes is probably good for Republicans. We always say, oh, get out the vote. Well, that means people are motivated to go vote against Trump, and you don't want that. But I don't think it matters at this point. It doesn't matter. Trump's going to be the candidate unless something unbelievable happens that we can't foresee right now. They've got nothing on him. This Alvin Bragg thing, the more they do that to him, the stronger he gets in the primary. DeSantis must know that. I'm out, man. If I'm DeSantis, I'm out. I'm calling my booster saying, you know what? I'm going to stay right here in Florida. I'm going to sit back and watch this thing. I'm going to support President Trump. And we're going to try to get the White House back. I'm going to get in good graces with the man. And if he becomes president, I hope he'll support me in my run. He's not going to be vice president. DeSantis wouldn't be the VP option here. I don't think that's a very smart play. I mean, if it became a package deal and you want to promote as a package deal, I'm here for four and then DeSantis gets it. You could promote it that way. I'd love it. I'd be for it, but I don't see that as the play here. I don't think DeSantis' ego is going to let him do that, but he might be able to sit down again and broker a deal with Trump and say, look, I'm out of here. Yeah, I just need a handshake. I need to look me in the eye, shake my hand, and tell me that if you're president or not, I do my time, I'll have your support. I'm out of this thing, but I'm going to need your support. You know I'm better than Nikki Haley or any of these other people or Mike Pence or any of these other people running. I want your support in 4 years. That's all you got to ask. Can I have your support in 4 years? Get a handshake on it. If you do, get the hell out. It was stunning. Folks, it was stunning. If you didn't get a chance to see it, find a replay and check it out. It was just all world. It's the only thing I can think of is all world. So is Buck Roofing and Construction. Ron Buck and his team are available 24/7 for emergencies as we're getting these spring rains that we need so badly. You may see some drips around the house. And sometimes your water just doesn't drain the right way off your roof. It can be flashing. It can be a piece of gutter. There are things like that that Ron will come out and his team will take a look at and maybe could fix right away for either very little money or none. And they'll say, listen, your roof looks good. Call us in 5 years. Let's take a look at that roof again. They're just honest guys, good people with great products and services. 913-384-2680. For Buck Roofing, online at rbuckroofing.com. And it really is true. There's a very high profile name person, celebrity type, with lots of money in this town that just recently put a Buck Roof on the roof that 2 years ago, Ron said, you're good. Just call me in 2 years. And this person told apparently somebody that works for them or whatever, hey, in 2 years, remember to call Ron Buck. And like 2 years to the day, he called and said, I don't need you inspected again. I'm ready for the new roof now. Let's just put the new one on. You know, he said a couple of years ago, call me back. They may have called and come back out and said, look, you got 2 or 3 more years on this roof. But this person didn't care. You said, call me in 2 years. They called in 2 years and they put the roof on. That's what Ron does. He's something else, man. Buck Roofing. Sleep well knowing Buck Roofing fixed the roof over your head. MyPillow.com. Many of you are going for the MyPillow 2.0 mattress topper. Ooh, that's a good mattress topper. It is a wonderful thing to get a better night's sleep. If you're not sleeping particularly well because of your mattress, or if you have shoulder pain or elbow pain or hip pain, try the mattress topper and see if that doesn't fix it. It's just a $219 investment in a good night's sleep. That's where prices begin depending on the size of the mattress. MyPillow 2.0 mattress topper was $365. Now they begin at $219 with the promo code KKHI. Don't forget the MyPillow 2.0 is out and it has all kinds of great cooling and comforting fabric around the outside of the pillow now. It's fantastic. Those have been buy one, get one with the promo code KKHI. It's all at MyPillow.com and MyStore.com. Please use the promo code KKHI. RobertsRobinson.com, home of the lifetime warranty, $100 rebate on 4 tires right now, and 0% interest available on some models. How about this? Brand new Chevy Silverados. 1.9% financing, no payments for 90 days. 1.9% APR, no payments for 90 days on brand new Chevy Blazers, Equinox, and Trailblazer SUVs. 0.9% on GMC Sierra 1500 trucks. These are unbelievable deals right now. Over 100 new and used vehicles in stock right now in their inventory to drive off the lot today or have it built at robertsrobinson.com. Call my man Tim at 816-826-1563. Doesn't matter where you live, they'll build it for you and deliver it right to you. Or if they have it in inventory, they'll deliver it to where you live. Beautiful. At robertsrobinson.com. We just make it easy. Love things that are easy, and we know that was easy for Trump on Wednesday night because he makes it look easy. And it was not an easy decision for a woman that got, we got a lot of downloads last week on this Cadren Sullivan podcast, the teacher at Shawnee Mission North, the English teacher, who is basically going after the Shawnee Mission School District for their wokeism. Students walked out of class on Wednesday at Shawnee Mission North in protest, and they were met by other students that decided to walk out of class in support of Cadren Sullivan. Now, I was asked a few days ago to be part of this and perhaps rally the troops, talk to the podcast listeners. Anybody's got some spare time, you want to come over and rally in support of Cadren when this happens at Shawnee Mission North. And they decided, not me, because I love events like that, they decided That's not right. Let the kids have their say. This is what Cadron Sullivan is all about. Let's have open and honest discussions about all these things. Multiple viewpoints are good. Having everything in the Shawnee Mission School District be leftist is not good. The left should be heard. We should. If you're a young person and you believe what you're hearing on the left, go for it. If you believe what we want to tell you on the right, maybe you should consider that and go for that. And Cadron and her folks decided, we're not protesting anything here, and I'm not doing any media that day. She turned down interviews and referred everyone to her op-ed that she wrote that came out on Monday at The Lion and said, everything I had to say was right there in that. I'm not going to take away their thunder. I'm not going to say they don't have the right to demonstrate or protest against me. Now, what it turned into was a bunch of kids that want Cadron fired. To me, that's not even the issue here. There is no grounds for dismissal. Everybody agrees with that. Now, these are kids. These are minors, okay? So they probably don't understand that. They want her fired. What Cadron wants is an honest discussion of all of these issues within the district. Allow teachers to present both sides. Allow them to discuss these issues calmly and intellectually, and teach kids to be free thinkers and unafraid to believe what they hear that is not woke. That's all this is about. And so they did everything about this. She respected their rights. She allowed them to do their thing. She stayed out of it. She asked us to stay away and our listeners to stay away. And yet still, students at Shawnee Mission North came out during the protest and supported Cadron. And I think it was close to equal, if not more. The conservative kids left school too and went right out in front and said, okay, here we are. We think Cadron's awesome. Good for Cadron. That's an excellent story and a pretty excellent outcome. We like that. Sports coming right up, brought to you by NKC Dental, online at nkcdental.com. Dr. Bill Bush is an award-winning dentist. He speaks all across the country, and he's got a mastership in the Academy of General Dentistry. This guy's something else, man. He's the dentist to the Chiefs since 2012. He can be your dentist too. 816-471-2911 or online at nkcdental.com. It's time for you to have a new dentist. Amini's at 105th and Metcalf. Oh my gosh, their outdoor furniture is spectacular. If you're looking for new outdoor patio furniture, Amini's is the place to go. 105th and Metcalf in Overland Park, R. Ash Amini, and I go way back to the 1990s. He's a good man, and this is a really nice family that's done so many great things in Kansas City. They've been here forever. It's an iconic building. The Copper Dome on top is iconic. They're also in St. Louis, Tulsa, and Oklahoma City. They have all kinds of cool games for your game room, like pinball, golden tee, of course, pool tables, and my favorite, shuffleboard. I love my shuffleboard table. You'll love yours, too. From Amini's at 105th and Metcalf in Overland Park. Mention the podcast when you visit their showroom. Our friends at Joslyn's Jewelry would love to see you. Mother's Day is coming up. You still have time this week to get out and get something for mom this Mother's Day. Why wouldn't you? Doesn't have to be something fancy. Maybe just a little bracelet or something nice that says, I love you. Your wife's a mom. In all likelihood, she'd like something cool for Mother's Day. Joslyn's is a great place to go for a Mother's Day gift. Maybe it's just little Chiefs earrings or something to wear on game day. Joslyn's Jewelry, 95th and Antioch, the jeweler you'll recommend to your friends and family. Speaking of the Chiefs, the schedule is just being leaked like crazy. We weren't supposed to know the Chiefs' schedule until 7 o'clock on Thursday night, but five games have now been leaked already. Here we go. Chiefs' schedule, week one, opening night for the National Football League. This is game one of the season for anyone. Thursday night, September 7th, 7:15 at Arrowhead. They'll unveil the World's Championship Super Bowl flag and present the trophy on NBC as the Chiefs play the Detroit Lions. Wow! The Lions are better now. I know it sounds like a terrible matchup. The Lions are better. They've invested in nothing but offensive weapons. They started going up and down the field last year, and apparently the NFL is convinced that the Lions are the real deal and ready for prime time. They're sending their butt to Arrowhead to open the season against the Chiefs. This could be a wild one, folks. It really could be a wild game. The Lions, and they drafted more offense. They just got in the draft and said, more, 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 More. We are copying the Chiefs. If we can score in this division and Aaron Rodgers is gone, we'll beat everyone in this division. We'll see. The Vikings have tried that, and they have a terrible defense and haven't had a lot of success with it. But the Lions, Thursday, September 7th, 7:15 on NBC. Week 9, the Chiefs play in Frankfurt, Germany against the Dolphins. That's an 8:30 a.m. Sunday morning kickoff on NFL Network. Week 13 is Sunday Night Football at Arrowhead Stadium. Green Bay Packers at Arrowhead Sunday, December 3rd, 7:20 kickoff for Sunday Night Football. Week 16, the Chiefs play the Raiders on Christmas Day at Arrowhead Stadium. That's right, Christmas Day, Monday, December 25th at noon, Arrowhead time. As announced by the NFL, this is going to be a CBS and Nickelodeon game. They're calling it Nickmas. This will be the kids' broadcast on Christmas Day for all the little Rugrats on Nickelodeon. The Chiefs play the Raiders. And finally, week 17, last game of the year, New Year's Eve, Sunday, December 31st. Oh, my God. Is this really going to happen? The Chiefs are going to play the Bengals. The Chiefs are going to play the Bengals at 3:25 on Sunday. I don't have the location on that one. These can't all be home games, can they? Can they possibly all be home games? I'm sorry. I could be. It looks to me like this could be, is or could be. 3:25 kickoff against the Bengals on New Year's Eve. That means on New Year's Eve, Chiefs fans, the game will be over around 6:30 and your game is on. And oh my gosh, it's still 5.5 hours until midnight. Wow. Wow. There you go. Lions open the season. Dolphins. Week 9, Frankfurt. Packers, week 13, December 3rd, Arrowhead, Sunday Night Football. Raiders, Christmas Day. Bengals, New Year's Eve. Okay, the rest of the schedule comes out at 7, and they'll verify, apparently, those games and exactly where they're all to be played. The Chiefs have announced they're going to the White House on June 5th. Chiefs couldn't go to the White House in 2020 because of COVID. But they're going this time, and I think they should. I think it's a good thing for the Chiefs to do. Look, it's June 5th. The players on the team want to go. It's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, maybe five times in a lifetime opportunity for Patrick Mahomes, but they missed the first one. You never know if you're going to win another one. Go to the White House. Go do it. Chiefs are going to the White House on June 5th. I support that fully. The University of Georgia football program has announced it is not going to the White House. University of Georgia is not going to the White House. Now, I want you to hear the reason why. Tell me if you think this holds water. Kirby Smart is the coach at Georgia. He said, the date you gave us in June doesn't work. We're not in school, and we're not practicing football at that time. Well, yeah, doesn't that make it the perfect time? Make this optional for your players? If, let's say, your player is from Kansas City, and he's home with his family because he's not in school and he's not doing football. You can't buy him a ticket from Kansas City to Washington, D.C. to meet the team there for the day and fly back home. I think most players would want to do something like that. Maybe they'd go with their parents now that these kids all have money and they'd go do D.C. for a day or two. Might be kind of cool. I can't imagine they wouldn't let a parent or two come in with some of these kids. So there's more to it than what we're hearing, is my point. Georgia's not out and out saying anything like, we don't want to go because of Joe Biden, but that's kind of what it feels like. Kind of smells to me like they don't want to be affiliated with a loser. The football team's polling in the state of Georgia is 99%. Joe Biden's polling in the state of Georgia is probably 29%. I don't know. I can't say. I know more about Georgia than most places and the University of Georgia, which is not an overly, none of these universities are overly conservative, but as those schools go, there's some conservative things to the University of Georgia, and that state is mostly conservative. That's why people don't believe the elections there. And it's strong, strong conservatism in that state. I don't know. It doesn't sound right to me. It doesn't sound that hard for the program to say, well, instead of chartering a jet or whatever, everybody's just going to fly on their own. We'll provide transportation, pick you up at the airport. We got a hotel. We'll stay the night before. We'll go in, we'll do our thing, and everybody will fly out that afternoon. It doesn't sound that hard to me. Kirby Smart has said no thank you. No thank you. We are out of that one. Not that gonna happen. Well, there's a lot happening at Kansas in college basketball. A lot of folks were wondering about and thinking about how Kansas would catch up in NIL, that they'd been a little bit behind. They hadn't been, you know, in on the transfer portal as much as a whole bunch of other people, other schools that were doing more in the transfer portal. Kansas has traditionally been the school that goes out and gets freshman players, builds them into a veteran team, and crushes everyone as they keep their best veteran players. I don't think anybody would argue that. Times, they are a-changin'. And they've changed big time here, as Kansas has gone into the portal and signed three players. Really good ones. They got the top shooter in the country, and they got the top big man in the country. Hunter Dickinson is 7'1". He's been playing at Michigan. And this is pretty interesting because he's now come out publicly and said, I just did it for the money. I've got a legacy at Michigan. I love it at Michigan. I'm a Michigan man. I'll always be known as a Michigan man, but I got to get paid. Hunter Dickinson said, I want to get paid like a football player at Michigan. I'm the man over here in basketball, and I want to get paid like a football player. And they wouldn't pay him at Michigan like a football player. It's not in their DNA. That's to Kansas' benefit. Guess where basketball players get paid like football players? Kansas. It's the new normal. There are people buzzing around that Hunter Dickinson is going to be receiving as much as $2 million for a 9-month stop in Lawrence. You'd leave too in the transfer portal. Now, Kansas fans may not like this, and really in every school, it isn't about the school anymore. It really isn't. Hunter Dickinson opened his up to 5 schools, basically said, hi, bidder, I'm yours. He picked Kansas and said, I really didn't have an inkling of where I was going. I'm just glad the whole thing's over. He said, I'm not happy or unhappy with my decision. I'm just glad it's over. Look, he just wanted the money. He's a terrific player. Bill Self's going to, it's a perfect place for him. I'm not disputing or discussing any of that. You couldn't go to a better place as a big man than to play for Bill Self in that offense. You couldn't have made a better selection. But now it's about the money. And Kansas, I think the last couple of years, as this has started, has had in their DNA at this school with this program, we shouldn't have to pay as much money as everyone else to get the players. We're Kansas. That's over. This free agency, the way it is, and I believe Kansas will be, if not the single biggest spender of money in America, they'll be in the top 5. They're going to outbid a lot of people for the players that Bill Self wants. That will happen. But it's changed the game fundamentally. I mean, you look at the players that K-State and Missouri are getting. They're getting players that they haven't gotten before. They're getting closer. The gap between Kansas and those schools is closing. That's what NIL is doing. And it's happening at places like San Diego State, as you can see it, Florida Atlantic. There's just places you can see it. And you know that it's happening. So we'll see how it goes down the road. I suspect at some point they will put some sort of an NIL cap in and say this is all you can spend within your program. And then it will go back to the days of, okay, I want to go to this traditional program or this place or this coach or whatever. Then you would have an advantage. Right now, the advantage Kansas has is they are willing to spend more money. They're willing to do it. And I kind of think that's great for college basketball. If players are deciding to go to Mizzou instead of North Carolina because Missouri's going to pay more money than North Carolina, great. Great for college basketball. There is simply no argument anymore. This TV rating stuff, hey, these blue blood programs, we have to have them in the tournament. No. That doesn't do it. That doesn't really move the needle. The highest rated basketball games last year were Indiana. I mean, Indiana used to be a giant thing. How they were the highest rated games, I'm not sure, but they were. They were good. They were good, and they weren't great. But that's Indiana. So, all the stereotypes and things you hear about television ratings, they don't really exist. They don't exist. So college basketball is in transition. Kansas, the point here is Kansas has caught up. Bill Self has made an awful lot of public comments and said, well, I'm not exactly sure where we are, you know, how much we're into this, whether we're behind. He thought they were behind. I mean, he said it. I think we're behind. I think we're not where we need to be. Well, it's pretty obvious through the transfer portal this year that they're exactly where they need to be. Because he needed a shooter. He needed a shooter. And he needed a big man. And he got them both. And they got exactly the guys that they wanted. Pretty cool stuff. All right, our final today is the Kansas City Royals scoring 9 runs on Wednesday night and bombing the White Sox. The Royals, I'm telling you, they've got the best offense in baseball in May. They did this in spring training, and I kept saying it's only spring training, it doesn't matter. It's only spring training, it doesn't matter. Here's the exciting part about games like Wednesday night. Yes, Brad Keller pitched well. 5 innings, gave up a run. Here are the 3 hitting stars for the night. And these are names you've heard the Royals promoting for a while, saying this is it. These are our guys. This is our future. They won a major league game against a division rival, 9-1, behind the bats of Vinny Pasquantino, Nick Prado, and Michael Massey. Listen, I do a podcast. I say things other people won't say. These are all 3 white dudes. The Royals love that. Bobby Witt Jr. fits in. There are some pieces here that this particular city and community can rally around if they're really good ballplayers. Vinny Pasquantino right now is having an all-star season. He keeps going the way he's going, he's going to be in the all-star game. He's raking. They brought Nick Prado up, and the guy acts like, you know, Lou Gehrig. He's George Brett. He just came to the big leagues like, I got this. He's crushing it. I think he's hitting 355, a couple of home runs, 9 RBIs already. I mean, he's just absolutely killing it. Production per game for Prado, and he may just be hot here at the start after they've recalled him. Massey struggled mightily early, but in the last week or so, he's shown real signs of being the bat the Royals think he's going to be. MJ Melendez is stepping out and becoming more productive. We're seeing it. We're seeing it. I don't have a lot of hopes the Royals' pitching is going to be great. But if they can be an entertaining team where the offense catches fire, even if they lose some games 7-6, I'll be a happy camper. The Royals are resurrecting their season. Not like the Tigers. Well, I don't even know what the streak is that the Tigers are on. The Tigers were like almost as bad as the Royals and White Sox. And now the Tigers are up in second place. They passed the Guardians. They must have won like 6 of their last 7. And by the way, if the Royals win 6 out of 7 here in this stretch or 7 out of 9 or something like that, they'll find themselves in third place like 6 games back of first. There is nobody good in this division. Nobody. All the Royals really need to be is just not awful. They're going to play a gazillion games in this division. They've played almost all of them exclusively to this point against the Twins, who are probably the best team in the division. But they're going to play the White Sox and the Tigers a whole bunch, and these teams aren't very good. And maybe the Guardians aren't either. So if we can just enjoy baseball season and have some fun with it and go to the ballpark and not feel like we're getting ripped off by the price or the parking or, you know, whatever, and say, well, that was a really nice night. And go out there knowing that your team has a 50-50 shot at winning on a given night. Hell, that's half the battle. Because I love baseball. I love going to the ballpark, and I want to go see the Royals. But I don't want to go see some team that's going to be unentertaining, flat, no offense in the lineup, and know they're going to lose every night. That's just not worth paying for. But they're showing signs over the last 2 weeks that they're not that team, that they really did get off to just what the Royals need is the first 4 weeks of the season to be the worst 4 weeks by far. If they do that, they can save this season and make something of it and have people going, okay, look at these young guys and what they're doing. There's something here. We don't know exactly what, but there's something here. They can't duplicate what they did the first 4 weeks. They can't have another month like that. If they do that in July or August, people are going to say, well, that's really who they are. But if you had that start, and then the rest of the way, you're just a decent team. Let's say they play 10 or 12 games under 500 after that. I think people would watch that and go, okay, well, there's something here that at least looks major league. And right now, they look more than major league. They're bashing the baseball. I mean, they're hammering it. They're hitting it hard. They're making loud outs. They really are. I hate when they're not getting hits and they say, oh, they're high percentage of velocity, speed, and hard hit ball. I hate hearing that, okay? I'm watching them right now, and they're hammering it. If you hammer it over the fence, there's no defensive play that stops that. Can't do it. And they're not missing. You know, this Lynn used to be just a terrific pitcher, and they just bombed him last night. And when he threw it down the middle, the first month of the season, we'd watch him swing and miss, foul it off. These guys aren't missing now. They're hammering the ball. Pretty cool stuff. Also, pretty cool stuff that you listen to KKHI. We appreciate that. And we want to thank our friends at Advantage Termite and Pest Control for being great sponsors of the podcast. They're online at AdvantageTPC.com. Fry Orthodontics is online at FryOrthodontics.com. We really appreciate their Mother's Day promotion this year, giving away Invisalign for one lucky mom. Free Invisalign treatment for one lucky mom. They've done that at FryOrthodontics.com/blog. Keep checking that out. They do this from time to time with other promotions and other giveaways because they like to give back to the community and do something cool for somebody. Keep checking. FryOrthodontics.com. And, of course, the Finch Knife Company with their new series of Flint knives now out online at FinchKnifeCo.com. Keep life from getting dull. Well, there is no dull life in the United States these days, folks, and I can't overstate this, man. I loved what I saw out of Donald Trump Wednesday night. When he is on and we don't let the media on the left bring us down with their coverage of the bad Trump news, there is no question he's the right man for the job. I dream of him getting in there and just devouring the federal government, the deep state, and just ripping it apart at its seams over the course of 4 years. I foam at the mouth over this. We can end all of this. If Trump wins in November of 24, we're going to have it all. The Senate clearly is going to win because the map is right. And the House would follow. If Trump wins, that means America's appetite is, they've decided. We're going to the right and we need a correction here because this is ugly. I just can't even imagine, especially those first 2 years, what that would be like. What they could get accomplished could be absolutely amazing. Tremendously amazing. And I got real confidence for that on Wednesday night, and I hope you did too. And I hope you enjoyed this episode of Kevin Kietzman Has Issues.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Kietzman Has Issues, presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. To get exclusive patrons-only podcasts, receive a weekly newsletter, and attend in-person patrons-only parties, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron today. This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.